Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode. I'm your host, Cesar Romero. And today we're going to be talking about training and upskilling strategies, especially if you are a staffing firm owner or you work at a staffing firm and are looking for that competitive edge. How important it is to upskill and train your team and looking for ways to differentiate yourself, you know, from the rest of the pack out there. And I'm excited to dive deeper into these topics. And for today, I'm excited to bring on Mr. Rick Carson. He is the founder and president of Harvest Consulting. And Rick, welcome to the show.
Excited to have you. Thanks, Cesar. Glad to be here.
Yeah, to kick us off, for folks that are listening and might not be familiar with your background, would you mind giving us your quick background on what you do at Harvest Consulting?
I can't do it quick. I've been doing this for 40 years. it's a diverse background. Right? I started out selling a commodity out of college, and I've been in sales my whole life, sales management, leadership. But I sold a commodity, salt. And we always used to say, you know, why do you sell salt? Because someone has to. But it was what I learned, which was really important to that, was how to differentiate. Because if you can differentiate a commodity, you can differentiate anything. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the big takeaway from there. Then I moved to the pharmaceutical business. I was there 15 years selling in that world and managing people as well. And then on a whim, wasn't a whim, it was a command. I was sitting at the table one Sunday morning with my wife. We were reading the paper and she said, when are you going to get off the road? I said, geez, I didn't know I had to, because I had all of North America and Central America as part of my region. I didn't know I had to. And I said, well, you know, if you could find me a job, we were living in South Carolina at the time. So if you could find me a job, I stay here in South Carolina and make good money in a company like who I was working with, Warner Lambert at the time, which is pharmaceutical. I said, if you find me all that, I said, I'd be glad to get off the road. And she literally pointed to a job in the paper that said, you know, build your sales force, make lots of money. And I looked at her and I said, you know, that's one of those pyramid marketing ones, I think. At the bottom of the ad, it said, we're an equal opportunity employer. And I said, well, you don't have to do that, do you? Pyramid marketing, right? It's, well, you don't have to worry about anything like that. So I said, maybe it's real. And we called and turned out it was a staffing business. Yeah. It was a company in South Carolina. I was looking for someone to lead their group. So I took that and got started. And that was 25 years ago and been in it ever since.
That's so awesome, Rick.
About 7 years ago, I didn't get out of the business. I got into my own business, which is Harvest Consulting, where I work with staffing companies, you know, executives, salespeople, recruiters, whatever, just trying to help them build a business.
So two things here. One, it seems to me that there's a common theme on how professionals stumble upon the staffing industry. It seems to me that there's almost by accident, by coincidence. Most people that I've talked to, especially people that have been in the industry for years and have developed expertise, the way they got into the industry is by accident. It's so interesting to me.
But you hear it all the time, right? People say it all the time, you don't teach staffing in college,
right?
I looked at staff. I didn't even know staffing existed, frankly. When I sat down with the president of that company, I said, explain to me what you do. And he told me, he went through it. And I said, so you sell people. He said, well, we don't want to sell people. I said, I know what you do, right? And he's like, I only knew it as headhunting, right? And that was perm placement stuff.
Yeah.
I never knew this portion of it existed where you do the contract staffing or the contingent workforce. It is. It's just people get into it, but it's become so big that, you know, it's much more prevalent now. People look at it and realize that what I realized when I got into it is we pay correctly. When you think about it, we may not give you the biggest base salary, but boy, we don't cut your commissions off. whatever you drive, you get paid on, which was different from all the selling I did in the past. It was sell a bunch of it. And if you get to a certain level, we'll give you a little bit more salary is what it amounted to. They called it bonus, but it didn't relate to if I went from $1 million in sales to $2 million in sales that I was getting comped on that extra million. I was just getting, I got to my goal and I get a little bit more for going to, you know, doubling the business. You know, this business, it's like you're double the business, you're doubling your income essentially. which is the way you should pay salespeople. You know, and competitive salespeople want that.
I'm curious to know more about Harvest Consulting. Like, what at what point a staffing firm, right? They realize they need help, and then you know they're looking for, let's say, to upskill their staff, you know, training their staff. I guess what's the pain point that you're looking to solve with your consultancy?
Yeah, I want to clarify something in a second here, but I think what the biggest pain point is there's so many staffing companies out there. Mm-hmm. SIA said they're estimated that there's 19,000 staffing companies, of which 10,000 have an IT component. So mm-hmm. you're competing, and those, you know, very few companies have one or two salespeople. They usually have five, six. And you get in the K-Forces and the Modus of the world, they've got, you know, hundreds. So you're competing against, you know, tens of thousands of companies that or salespeople that you're going against. So when a hiring manager has a need, they don't go to bed at night wondering if they're going to be able to find someone to help them fill that need. Mm-hmm. they go to bed worrying that they're going to have 52 salespeople calling them that day saying, "Hey, can I help you?"
Right.
So you're competing against such a large group that you know you've got to be able to really differentiate yourself. So that's where I help. And the part I wanted to clarify, and it's not clarified, but to let you know, the way we work with salespeople is through TechServe Alliance. TechServe years ago came to me and said, he asked me what I was doing, and I told him I was helping other sales companies grow or other staffing companies grow, and I managed their salespeople virtually, doing things like this every week. And they asked if I could help, you know, their constituents do that as well. And I said, sure. So I put together a team of five coaches that we coach salespeople through the TechServe Alliance group on a regular basis. So, you know, it's a weekly basis. We literally do this. We sit down and we say, what are you trying to do? What's your approach? And how do we help you change that? Because typically the approach is, you know, I'm going to knock on the door and see what I can find. It's like, that's probably not going to get you anywhere right now because now you're looking like everybody else. So we work with them. And our whole goal is to get you to be a better prospector and be more successful in your prospecting efforts, as well as develop your business. Because there are a lot of companies that have good salespeople that are, you know, haven't really expanded as far as they can inside their account base. So we show them different ways of doing that. So it's a prospecting world. It's a strategic world where we try to help salespeople grow. We do it with recruiters as well. And then separately under my label, Harvest Consulting, I work with owners and managers, VPs, sales managers, whatever you're calling them, to help them build their teams and expand their business. So it's kind of a two-pronged approach, right? TechServe is on the sales recruiting side. And then when you get into directly with owners and executives in the organization, I work directly with them.
So two questions here. I guess from the sales recruiting side, you know, what are some of the most common mistakes that keep repeating, you know, as you coach staff, you know, through their challenges? You know, what are some of the most common mistakes?
The most common one is the way salespeople approach clients. And in this world where you're struggling with tens of thousands, not hundreds of thousands of competitors, you look like everybody else, you know, and that's what they think of. And so typically what a hiring manager will do is when they, you know, when someone calls saying, yeah, you know what, we already have all the staffing companies we need, you know, HR takes care of that. So they get shunned for that reason. And what we try to help them understand is, you know, it's like going to the bank and saying to the clerk, I want to take out $100,000. And then they say, well, Mr. Krause, you don't have an account here. You know, it's like, right. And that's what we're doing. We go to clients, we say, we just want to talk to you about what you're doing. We want to help you. We want to see if we can, you know, we can fill your needs. And they're just looking at going, why would I bother with you? I got 10 other staffing companies that I already have approved. And I'm not in charge of approving them. So we got to get them to understand there's a different way to approach this. There's a better way. And you've got to become the advocate of the client and really be the resource they look at and go, geez, Caesar, you really help me all the time. I know you're not part of the approved vendor list right now, but every time I talk to you, you give me some good information. You tell me what's going on. You give me ideas. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get you on the list here. I'm going to help you get on that list. So it's that approach that we try to get them to understand. You got to take an approach that says, I'm here to help. I'm here to help, and I'm here to guide you and give you guidance. Hopefully, you'll buy from me one day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So taking more of the farmer's mindset in terms of nurturing, right, versus a hunter mentality of going.
Well, you got to be careful. It's still a hunter mentality because you're still going after lots of businesses.
Right.
The difference is, salespeople tend to want to get. If I'm selling to you, I'm trying to sell to you. Mm-hmm. The thing I try to do is I try to assimilate with you, right? I try to find a commonalities so that we have a relationship. And usually that means I'm trying to get approved by you. In other words, I'm trying to get you to like me. Yes, mm-hmm. I like probably the wrong word, but you know what I'm saying. And I'm trying to get into your circle is what it amounts to. And what we're saying now is that's not good enough. Because if I get into your circle, what happens? You go, hey, Rick, like you. We're going to bring you on. Hey, by the way, here's how we do business. You know, first of all, we send out a rec, then you can't talk to managers, and then you send us a candidate, and then we call you back and say we need more candidates, and then maybe we interview, and five people interview, and then we try. And it's this horrible process that's been going on for years in hiring. Right. So what we try to do is teach them, let's show a little different perspective. You know, Caesar, I know you've been doing this for a long time. I know you hire a lot of people. I want to share with you some things that I'm seeing other people do. So I'm trying to get you out of your circle mm-hmm. and into neutral ground so that you can. So I start to look like, not look like, I become the teacher to you saying there's better ways to do this. And I just some ideas I have for you. You know, like I said, I like to use the phrase, you may never buy from me. I hope you do. You may never, but at least you can use what I've given you. Yeah. And that builds a little different relationship than just, hey, I want to get in your circle. Because then I got to follow your rules. And your rules are horrible. They don't produce good results. And they haven't for years.
Now, this is on the sales side. How about when you work with the owners, you know, of these staffing firms? You know, what are some of the most common mistakes?
The biggest mistake, and the reason this the program that I initiated years ago and now we're running through TechServe, the reason it works is that typically smaller companies don't have the ability to bring on a dedicated sales manager. Mm-hmm. A lot of times what they'll say is, we got a guy who watches over sales, but he also has a big book of business. Well, you know, when you have a big book of business, you don't pay attention to the other reps. In fact, most of the companies that I worked at, especially one, but I won't name it, but when I came in, that's how they had all their managers. The manager had a big book of business, and then they managed four or five other people. And what you got was a lot of churn because if it comes down to it, what am I going to pay attention to? My clients or your clients? You know, I want to help you when I can, but when I'm busy and things are going wrong with my clients, I go to my clients. And so you get a lot of churn. You get people who are, in fact, well, good story, but I was working with my manager at the time who also had a book of business. I was trying to convince my company that I got to get him out of that. We were sitting in a whiteboard meeting and he was talking for 45 minutes. He talked about his needs, what his clients wanted. And finally, at the end, with 5 minutes to go, he looked at the other three reps and said, what do you guys need? And that's what happens. So what I do, because of that, you know, if you can't afford a full-time manager, that's what we provide. We provide that opportunity to say, let's build some strategies. Let's talk about how we're going to get there. Let's make some things happen that you weren't going to do before. And then we hold them accountable. You know, that's the other big thing. Mm-hmm. If you're running, I always say, if you're the captain of the ship, which the owners are, they don't have time to get down in the bowels of the ship and row along with everybody else. And that's what needs to be done. Someone needs to be there helping them row. Whereas the ship, you know, the captain of the ship is looking out to where long-term where they're going.
So how can we improve the onboarding? Because, right, you have the sales manager with their big book of business, and then they have new members of the team coming in, right? It seems to me that there's a disconnection there in terms of the incentive, right? Of training the team, of helping them out, you know, in the first 90 days. Mm-hmm. So what would you recommend in terms of specific tactics when it comes to onboarding new staff and getting them in?
Well, it comes back to the same thing I was saying. If you carry a big book of business, you don't have time to train. You know, you just don't. And so you have them tag along with you once in a while. You have them watch you for a little bit. But to do true training, you're really not doing it. You know, say do as I do, and then probably not holding them as accountable as you should. Mm-hmm. Too often, I see that, right? People have been on board for 2 years and they've got three people on billing. Why are they still here? why are you putting up with this? And it's because they don't have anyone helping them. And a lot of times, it's just no one's been there to say, hey, here's a different idea. Try this. Here's something else. You know, that you want to attempt to do. So I think to your question is, you know, you've got to engage in regular training. Maybe it's outside training, maybe it's internal. But at any point, you've got to do that. You've got to test to see what your people are doing. I put out a direct mail piece not long ago to my clients, and I said, I think the title was Say What, right? And, and the idea was, do you know what your people are saying when they're asked the question, what makes you different? Why should I buy from you? Do you know, as an owner? And that's one thing they got to know, because if, you know, if they're saying things like, well, we got great recruiters, we got offices all over the country, and we've been in business a long time, and you know, our owner was an ex developer. That doesn't sell. That doesn't come off well. It's kind of, you know, tell them what everyone else is saying. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's why when we put people through training, that's what we work on. How do you really differentiate yourself? How do you really sell the ability that you're different than the 10,000 other staffing companies out there?
Yeah, so making sure that everybody's on the same page when it comes to the branding and the pitch.
Exactly, right.
Mm-hmm. So I hear often that finding your niche, right, is one of the best things you can do, not just in staffing, but in business. So especially nowadays that we have so much general access to everything, right, with the internet. Narrowing down, it's a great strategy. But I've noticed that most staffing firms, when it comes to niching down, they still are too broad. For example, right, like IT staffing. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me that there's still another layer or many other layers that they can, you know, go further niching down and getting more specific. Why do you think that is? You know, what's the barrier or maybe the mindset that prevents most staffing firms from?
Well, I think what they they call it FOMO, right? Fear of missing out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because we can provide people that all the way from help desk to senior architects and everything in between. We're searching for people, right? And we're doing it on a regular basis. We don't want to miss out on any of those opportunities. So we kind of broadcast that we can do everything. And I could tell you from working with the MSPs across the country, one of the things they're adamant about is they want to know what you specialize in. They don't want to hear that you can do everything. And when they hear that, they tend to push aside. So it's not that we want to say we don't do everything. It's what we want to do is focus in on what that particular group needs. So if I'm calling on a specific company, I'm going to look into, before I do so, I'm going to do a little research to find out what they're doing so that I can say, you know, I may have the perfect .NET developer for you. And we have a lot. We did it with a client where they were looking for program managers and looking for quite a few. And they've been struggling. Well, the client I'm working with had recently placed 60 project managers, over the course of 6 months. And so we went in with that. We went into this lady who was very senior level and said, I know you're struggling a little bit with finding PMs. Just to show you, we've placed 60 in the last 6 months. So we're placing about 10 a month. So we really understand PMs. Mm-hmm. Now we could place anything for her, but her specific need was on that. And so she took a look at some of her work and helped us get into the client. So you got to figure out who you're dealing with and what they need, as opposed to just saying, hey, here's everything I got. You know, what do you want? You know, it's kind of a guy who opens his coat up right on the street and says, what do you want from here?
Exactly.
We got to be more controlled on that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And to shift gears here a little bit, what's been the biggest change that you've noticed in the industry?
This is one that bothers me the most. The sales narrative's got to change. We've got to be better at selling, because here's what's happening. You talk about the great resignation that's going on right now, mm-hmm. The high demand for IT. So when you couple those together and you've got an issue where the candidate is king, and the pendulum swings back and forth, right? The client can be king for a while, then the candidate can be king. Mm-hmm. Right now, the candidate is king. And what we got to help our clients understand is it's not enough to say, you got a job. And that's the mentality they take is like, hey, I've got the job. You tell me why you should have it. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's changed. We really got to get to understand that if you really want this candidate, you got to move quickly. You got to make sure you give them what they're looking for. And you can't play games. You know, the speed and quality are everything in this. It's speed, essentially, speed and urgency, I guess, better way. And so we got to understand the client's not in control anymore. We got to help them understand it as nicely as we can, because they don't like to hear that, right? I've got the job and I'm going to be paying, so I'm in control. but you're not. I don't know if you ever watched the episode, if you ever watched Billions. It's one of those Netflix things, but it's about hedge fund brokers. Anyways, it's great, great, great little story. Right? I think there are
what's, seven. What's the name of the show? What's the name
Billions.
Of the show?
It's called Billions. Okay. Paul Giamatti. And anyway, the reason I bring it up is there's a scene where a kid comes in into a hedge fund manager's office for the interview for a job.
Yeah.
And he's got jeans on and flip flops and a t-shirt. He looks a mess. And he sits down and kind of puts his feet up on the desk. And the hedge fund manager looks at him and goes, well, you know, this is no way to act. And he said, hey, look, you're not in control. You need me. I don't need you. I got lots of opportunities. Now, I'm not advocating we ever people do that, but that's the attitude. It's you need me. I've got, you know, in the IT world, I got lots of opportunities. You tell me why I should work here. And that's what we got to try to help clients understand is it's shifting. Now it'll go back at some point. And when it does, we'll shift back to the other way, but we got to be fluid. And it's up to sales to teach that.
What will be your specific recommendations to clients out there, organizations, when it comes to the candidate experience? Like, you know, what are some of the things that if they were to fix that one thing, you know, they would increase their chances of success?
Well, I think for staff, if you mean what staffing companies can do for candidates,
mm-hmm.
I think the thing that's been lost over the years needs to come back, and it is coming back. A lot of companies still do it, but when I first started out in this business, the company I was with, very, very large organization, we had what we called consultant relation reps, and those were just people strictly dedicated to going out and working with the consultants, you know, seeing how their job's going. Taking them to lunch, you know, helping them in their when their assignment was coming to an end, helping them find their next one. That's gone. Those have been gone for a long time, and it you know came down to a lot of times it's cost, right? Because they are in an inadvertent way a revenue producer, but they're not. So people look at it and go, if I got to cut costs to drive my profitability, that's the first one that goes.
Right.
And unfortunately, there's been studies I've done where the candidates, where they came out and they talked to consultants and they surveyed them, they found out 40% of the time, consultants never hear, 40% of the consultants they surveyed, never hear from their staffing company. Never, after they're placed.
That's a big gap.
It just leaves them out there, right? Yeah, it's huge. And then, there's another 30% said once in a while. Very few have regular contact. And when they're in the field, they're not an employee of the client. So you're your employee. So they kind of feel a little bit ostracized, right? So well, the issue for people is you got to start taking care of your candidates because you got to build loyalty in that because that's what really helps. And so, you know, it's where people got to start looking back to those kind of situations.
I've been a consultant. I've been on that side. And I know exactly what you're talking about. I never felt that connection. Because nobody would check in on me, you know. It was more of a you're expected to do this job. Here's the outcome. Let us know if you need anything. But I feel like there's that gap.
Yeah, there is, and another thing, even there are people will be listening to us and going, "Well, we do that because we tell the salespeople in our career to check in on them."
Yeah,
and it's one of these, right? It's I thought you checked on. Well, I thought you checked on.
Yeah,
the sales was supposed to check. Recruiter was supposed to check, and no one did in the essence. Or checking in was just, you know, hey, how you doing? I got to go. You know, I got an appointment. So, you know, it's important that you really dedicate to that and really get the loyalty of your consultants because the candidates are everything right now.
Yeah. And, you know, a staffing firm owner might be listening to us right now and thinking, yeah, Rick, you're absolutely right. But, we have budget constraints right now. You know, I don't think we can, if we have to prioritize, we need to prioritize sales. What would you tell this staffing firm owner?
Well, if I was talking to an executive, first thing I'd ask him is, so let's take a look at your P&L. You know, let's take a look at your statement because, you know, one of the things I learned from running staffing companies in the past is your P&L tells you what you need to do. It'll guide you. It'll guide you saying, you know, hey, you're spending way too much over here and not enough here, or you're not getting the value out of your salespeople that you should be getting. You know, so P&L's was the Bible for me. And so I'll look with it and say, where are areas that we can improve? What are the ratios you're seeing? And how do we get more to drop profitability and make room for people like a consultant relations rep? How do we do that? So that's where I'd go first with them.
P&L, You don't tell you the truth.
it's the guide, right? It tells you what's going on in your business and where you're heading. Gives you good direction, gives you good guidance to say, boy, the trend is not good. We got to change that. How do we change it? Well, this is these are things we can do.
Now, in terms of trends, what are some of the trends that you are paying close attention to, you know, especially in the staffing industry?
Well, I mean, it's in terms of what's changing out in the staffing business. It really comes down to we're getting really pushed into these niches of, you know, I'll call them silos, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's approved vendor status, and so mm-hmm. we're focusing the people that are controlling that are their HR and talent acquisition. And we're focusing way too much on that side of business. We need to be there. I'm not saying you don't go to HR talent acquisition, but it's not where you're going to make a difference. Because what they want to do is they want to commoditize it, right? They'd like you all to look the same and pay the same rates and make the same money and have a level playing field, as they call it, right? Have everyone has the exact same amount of consultants on billing. Yeah. And that's just not a place where we're going to make a difference. You know, that's a trend that's been going on for a while, but it's one that we've got to really tackle. Now, if you go from what are the big things that are happening in technology? Mm-hmm. Blockchains are still growing in popularity. Mm-hmm. Artificial intelligence, digital transformation, which is that huge umbrella, right, covers everything. But those are areas that you should be focusing if you're looking to break in.
Yeah, blockchain. I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. There's so much out there.
Yeah, there is. And I said to sales people, I said, you got to be familiar with some things, but you know, it's when I was in the pharmaceutical business, I couldn't know every drug that was out there, because we worked in a specific area. So I had to know my competition. I had to know enough about to talk about it, but I can't talk about that all the time as a differentiator because, product, quality, service, delivery, price. Those are five areas that people think that's what drives customers, but it's not, surprisingly. Mm-hmm. There's a book out there called The Challenger Sales by Matthew Dixon and Brent Adamson. They wrote The Challenger Sale, and what they did, they did a study of over 6,000 companies across the globe to find out why people were loyal to their clients. And they came through all these things, right? They were talking about price, they were talking about quality, service, all that stuff. And that only represented 47% of the reasons why people buy from someone. The other 53 were all about the sales experience. Did they like the salesperson? Did the person bring them good information? Was the person educated on what's going on? Was the person a resource for them? And that 53% of the decision was made on that side, on the sales side. So it says, boy, people look at us all the same. Yeah, we may have a little bit different product. We may have a little bit different this, but it comes down to the sales experience. Do I? Can I work with that person? Is that person an advocate for me? Can they help me? So, when I look at, do we need to really be the experts in blockchains and artificial intelligence? No, we need to be the experts in staffing. We may not know your business as well as you, but we sure as heck know staffing. And we know how to get good people. We know how to do that for you. And we're going to show you some ways that you probably didn't look at before in terms of how do you get better at it. Because I always have salespeople, when they're talking to managers, say, ask the question. If I was talking to your CEO and I said, what makes your company so good? What are they going to tell me? 99 times out of 100, they're going to say, it's the great people we hire. And they're exactly right. Mm-hmm. It's all about good people. And if what drives my business is bringing in good people, I look at it and say, why is the process so messed up? Why does it take so long to get people? Why do we fail so often? It really comes down to process. The process is just what we've been doing for hundreds of years, I think. It's the way we hire people, and it's not a great way. It doesn't produce good results. So anyway, it's a good way to start talking to people, right? To find out, what they would, if they own the business, what would they change? What would you change about the way that you hire people?
That question. It's so powerful. What would you change about your current process? Because it allows for a moment of introspection, right? A moment of, wait a minute. Maybe I haven't thought about this. I'm just doing this because that's always the way we've done it.
Right? So. Yeah, and that's what it comes down to, right? It's mm-hmm. supposed to, that's the way we do it. That's why I said you don't want to be in their circle. You want them to come out of their circle, right? You want them to start looking at it from a different perspective, going, Yeah, I know it's the way we always done it, but why do we do that? And then when you can start showing them where the failures happen and what those failures cost them, they never look at a failure as a cost, right? They just look at, well, the guy didn't work out. Like, took you 4 months to find him. They worked for you for 6 months and did nothing. By the way, they upset some of their peers while they were there. So they may be leaving. It cost you a lot. And we can monetize that for you and show you exactly what it cost you. I mean, they just don't look at it that way. They're like, well, I'm not paying. You know, if I have an open job, they look at it and say, well, I'm not paying anybody, so it's not costing me anything. It's cost me a lot. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, so. No, I agree with you. I like what you mentioned on on the trends and technology. Ultimately, it's about people, right? It's about relationships. Technology is just a way to enable, at least in my opinion, to enable and to 10x processes. But really, at the core of everything, it's building those relationships, right? So I 100% agree with you. Be the expert in your industry, in your niche, and then technologies will come and go, right? How the world has worked for the past 100 years.
It's true. It's just an evolution, right? It's constant. Yeah. You know, when I first got in, COBOL was a big thing. COBOL, CSS, DB2, you know, you never hear that anymore, unfortunately. But you know, it's evolution. We're gonna continue to grow in this industry just because we continue to need to find ways to best manage data and make the best decisions.
Absolutely, Rick. So if someone were to thinking about starting their own staffing company today, what would be your advice and recommendation on things to look out for? What would you tell this person?
Yeah, I think the first thing is understand the landscape. You know, there's thousands of staffing companies that you're competing with, mm-hmm. and what's going to make you different? You know, why is someone going to buy from you? And if I'm starting a company, I got to believe that I have a difference maker. You know, that there's a reason for me to be in this, because it is competitive. I mean, it's the most competitive business I've ever been in. You know, Salt was very competitive, but nowhere near this. Pharmaceuticals competitive, but difference in pharmaceuticals, you had different categories, right? So you're competitive in certain categories and not others. But this is crazy. You know, and if you're going to get into it, you better have a plan for how, you know, what makes you different, and understand you're competing with a lot of people more than any other industry. It feels to me. I
agree with you 100%. If we can talk about, because it's one thing, right? That's super important, knowing how to stand out from the pack, you know, from the rest of companies out there. But what about the main issue that everybody's talking about, which is, you know, finding talent? You know, I can't find great talent, or I can't find talent. What thoughts you have around there? What
kind? Yeah, I mean, it's been around forever, right? I mean, it's always about do we have the best talent we can get? and again, you know, from my perspective, the problem is we look for talent when we need it, and it's the wrong time to look. You know, we should be looking all the time. And there was that, it was a movie years ago. They used ABC as always be closing, right? I use ABC as always be canvassing, meaning always be looking for the good people, right? And when you find them, hire them. You know, don't wait till you have an opening. Because a lot of times they'll say, well, Caesar's a great guy, but I don't really have an opening for him right now. If Caesar's a great guy and a guy I want, I'm bringing him on now. I'm going to figure out how to get him in his organization, because it's all about bringing on good people. And so you've got to constantly be looking. You should never say, geez, we could use another salesperson. Let's go ahead and get one. You know, and then call some agencies and look at some resumes and that kind of stuff. We should be looking all the time, where we say, you know what, I've been talking to this person for a while. I know that person's out there, and you know, I might be able to get them. Constantly canvassing for people. And when, like I said, when you find them, as best you can, bring them on.
Okay, well, I love that. Don't wait until this are open rec or an open role. Just get them in.
No, because it's like we do now in staffing, right? They wait till they need it, and then it's the best available as opposed to the best. So you know, if you're constantly looking for people, and that's another thing I have salespeople do, is when you find superstars, let your clients know. I know you don't have a need for this right now, but this person is fantastic. Is there any place in the organization we can get him in? Because I think you'll really agree with me. Same thing in selling. It's, you know, we're looking for salespeople or recruiters. Constantly be looking for them. Constantly be talking to people, even if you don't need them. You know, and when you do find them, you can do an upgrade, right? With Jack Welch from GE used to do that. He used to upgrade his bottom 20%, right? And was right. in everything. You know, constantly looking to bring the business up.
Even finding recruiters today, you know, it's I've read a stat that there's more openings for recruiters than there are for software developers.
Really? Wow. Yeah. I believe it. I my clients ask me all the time when I talk to them, say, you know, any good salespeople? I know a lot of good salespeople, but they're not coming to your organization because they're good. And when you're good at staffing, you make a lot of money. So they're not gonna come join you to start over, you know, and that's the hard part. So, you know, I said, let's start canvassing, start looking for people now and start talking to people. You go to trade shows and figure out who's who and see what it would take to bring the best people on. So, but understand, great people in staffing make a lot of money. So they're not gonna leave a $300,000 job to come join you for 60 grand and starting over. You know, that's not realistic. So, and you don't want to pay them 300 because they don't have to work as hard.
Right. So, yeah. I've read the, I think Barb Bruno mentions this, that the best talent, it's not actively looking, right? They're most likely they're happy where they're at. Mm-hmm. Right. So if you want to find the best talent, you just got to talk to them, right? Yeah. Not sell them. Just talk to them, engage, and see, right? Like, kind of like becoming their career coach, almost. Absolutely. Right?
Well, that's part of that loyalty thing too, right? When I was talking about with consultants, it's, you know, if you treat them well, and, you know, so Cesar, you're working for me at a client, and you're coming off assignment in 2 months, and I come to you and I say, hey, your assignment's going to end in 2 months. So just check your manager. It's on. Don't be looking for a job. I got you. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call these today. I'm going to spend the day just calling on your behalf. Here are the companies I'm thinking about. Are there any that you'd like to work at? And you give me a few, amazing. And I say, okay, that's what I'm going to do for you today. I'm spending my day working on you. That gives them comfort, right? They know someone's going to take care of them. It gives them loyalty. It makes them feel, you know, this I mean something to this company, and that's I want to stay here. And by the way, I want to bring my friends because that's what they're complaining that they don't, you know, they don't get the treatment that they want, that they feel they should have.
I love that, right? Because one of the biggest concerns of a consultant, you know, in this specific case is where's my next project going to come from, right? Where's my next client or whatever, right? Because they have a family, or, you know, they have bills, and if you can help them, hey, don't worry about this. I'm going to call on your behalf. I got you. Once your assignment ends in 6 months, 4 months, whatever, right? You'll have something lined up. To me, I'm like, what? I would be like, yeah, like.
Well, you know, we did Barb Bruno and I and Tom Nunn did a session at TechServe this past November, where we were working with a group of basically owners and very senior level people just to kind of understand what's out there. So Barb was handling the recruiting side, I was handling the sales side, and Tom was handling the financial side. But one of the questions that I asked Barb during that conversation, I said, Barb, you know, there was a study that was done recently, 2 years ago, I guess it was, that said consultants start looking for their next assignment 1 month into their new assignment. So that you get placed and a month later you start looking. She said it's worse than that. She said they start the same day. that was her information. She said, Rick, they start the same day. You put them in that assignment, they immediately start looking for the next one. Their notes are back out on the, you know, the industry saying, you know, I'm available.
I believe so.
I do too, because it's a revolving door right now. We really gotta get focus our efforts on getting loyalty, and making sure they feel comfortable that we're gonna take care of them.
Yes, 100% agree with that, Rick. I feel like we can talk about staffing and sales and training all day, but as a way to wrap it up, how do you stay, I guess, you know, with updated, you know, what's your go-to source for information, whether it's a news outlet, books?
Yeah, one is I work with salespeople every day. So I'm still very active in knowing what's going on in the field. But the sources I like, I mean, I use Wall Street Journal. I get the Wall Street Journal in online, and they have a section on tech, which is great, CIOs and tech. That helps. I use there's another source that provides a lot of information called the Enterprisers Project. It's a free resource that sends you articles every day about what's happening in the industry. So I use that. TechServe, the TechServe Alliance, they have a good, they do have a good resource of information. SIA, Staffing Industry Analyst, they do a daily report. So I use a lot of those things just to see what's going on. But mostly it's by talking to people, by talking to salespeople and working with them on the problems they have. And
I love that.
Devising solutions.
Yeah, because they're the ones in the trenches.
Yeah, they're the ones. They'll tell you, you learn a lot, right? I mean, that's one of the things I learned when I went into management was I better get out with my salespeople in the field to understand what they're running into. Yeah. So I can help them, you know, so we can collaborate and figure out what's the response, what's the answer to some of these things.
I love that. I love that. And that's probably the secret to any good training or, you know, creating loyalty is really caring about your team in the field.
Well, it's the number one role of a manager is not to drive, you know, the most business they can. It's to to make the most people that they can successful. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's I tell managers all the time. So your role is to make that person successful. So if they're struggling, you got to help them. If they can't make it, you got to make quick decisions. But if you can get all your people producing like you used to, your company grows fivefold, right? I
mean, right.
So get that's your role. Get those people productive. And help them get productive.
I love it. So Rick, where can people find out more about you? What's the best way to reach out to you?
For the most part, they could just they'll go to LinkedIn. I'm there and I've got all my contact information there, but certainly phone calls, email, text, whatever. I'm available to talk anytime.
Excellent. We'll make sure to put those links in the show notes, all the resources that we mentioned throughout the conversation,
okay.
Especially how to get in contact with you. But yeah, it's been an amazing episode. We mentioned a lot of advice around how to get your staffing firm, right, to the next level in terms of sales, training, and all that. So I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your expertise with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me, and I've enjoyed the conversation.
Thanks so much, Rick.
Okay, thanks, Caesar.